Today, we're going to finish up with Jonah. And have you ever wanted things to go your way, and because God didn't answer your way, you got angry, or you got mad, or maybe something happened in your life? I mean, you prayed for something specific, and it didn't happen the way you thought it should happen. Anybody? Okay, well, good. Okay, I'm preaching then to the three of us, okay? The rest of you just kind of sit back and do whatever you wanted to do, okay? I promise we'll beat the Baptist out to the food courts, so, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But the idea is Jonah didn't want to go. Remember, chapter 1, he flees from God. I don't want to go there, God. I don't want the Ninevites. I don't want anything to do with them. They're brutal, angry, bitter people. They're awful. They're filled with evil. I don't want anything to do with them. In fact, I'm going to run as far away from Assyria here all the way to Tarshish over here. I'm going to run as far away as I can, so I'm going to flee. Then in chapter 2, we see that, no, God had other plans. He didn't answer the way that Jonah thought he should answer. He actually caused a storm on the boat, and he was thrown overboard, and he was swallowed by a big fish. So he spends all of chapter 2 praying, you know? He's praying to God, saying, you know what, God, I'm sorry I did this. And remember verse 8, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. And we learned that the word, before he could go in the next one to preach, he had to let go. He had to let go of his unwillingness to do what God said. He had to let go of his reservations to go and speak to a people that he really wanted to see suffer. So he goes in with 8 words, 5 in the Hebrew. He says, repent, for in 40 days God will overthrow you. And he spends the days preaching. And from the king down to the lowest people to the animals, they all put on sackcloths and they fasted and they all repented and they turned, and God relented and didn't overthrow them, but changed them. And you would think, Jonah, what a miracle, man. You went in there with the smallest sermon ever and had the best response ever, okay? But that's not what happened. So we're going to pick up in chapter 4. With Pout, the pouting preacher. Now that's not me. I don't pout. Except 3 or 4 times a day. But for the most part, okay, let's get in here. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. See what happened there? When God saw what they did, this is verse 10 from chapter 3. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. In other words, they repented. God said, okay, you repented. I forgive. I'm not going to do this after all. But here's what happened. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. God, I wanted to see them destroyed. I wanted to see them torn up. You know, I wanted to see the wrath of God on these people. I can't stand these people. The word greatly displeased is the Hebrew word ra'ah, ra'ah, which means evil. It means I'm upset about this. Hara is anger, and it means not just to be angry, but to burn with fire. He was so upset, he burned, literally burned with fire. So what does he do? And he prayed to the Lord. Here's the thing about praying. I know we pray to God when we're upset. Remember, 2 times Jonah prays in these 4 short chapters. 2 times. The first time, he's in the belly of a great fish. There's nothing he could do. He's at the end of his rope, and he prays to God out of his distress. God, help me. God, save me. I promise, God, I will vow to do what you've asked me to do. Okay? I'm going to do this. Is this really, really loud? It seems really, really loud to me. Yeah, can you turn it down for them? Thank you. Okay. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. So anyway, he's saying, I'm crying out in my distress, and we go to God whenever we need something. God, I need this in my life. God, I didn't want to hear this. God, I need a job. God, I need a car. God, I need a wife. God, I need a husband. God, I need different children. You know, we pray to God in our distress, but we also pray to God when we're mad. Second time Jonah prays, he's angry at God. He's, God, I can't believe you did this. And so if you're a good God, why did you let this happen? If you're a good God and you're angry at God, and these are the only two times, but yet God says, you know what? I want you to speak to me all the time. I want to give you life, and I want to give it to you abundantly, and I want you to spend time with me. But the only times we go to him is when we're desperate or angry. Can you imagine if our children came to us like that? The only time they spoke to us is when they're angry at us or when they want something instead of just rejoicing with our children. But yet that's the way we treat God, our Heavenly Father. So anyway, verses 2 through 3, let's pick it up there. Sorry, I took us down another rabbit trail. And he prayed to the Lord and he said, listen to this prayer. Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? And this is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. What? Jonah, you would rather die than to see God's mercy on these people. And he argues with God. God, is this not what I said was going to happen? Because I knew, and he's quoting back from Exodus, God, you are slow to become angry. You are quick to forgive. You are merciful. You are all of these things. I know that about you, and I hate that about you because, you know what? I want you to forgive me, but don't forgive them. God, I want you to forgive me for when I do something bad, but don't forgive them. They're the Ninevites. God, I know that you pour out your mercy and your grace on me, but don't do it on these people. I think sometimes as church people, that affects us too. You know, God bless our church, but not those crazy people down the road. You know? But God is God, and we're not. Jonah's angry at God, and he's angry that God forgave the Ninevites. God, thank you for being patient with me, but I'll never be patient with Nineveh. God, thank you for giving me a second chance. Thank you for forgiving me, but I will never forgive Nineveh. Thank you for showing me your mercy and your grace, but I will never show mercy and grace to Nineveh. We have people here today. I think some in here are angry. Maybe you're harboring bitterness or resentment in your life towards someone because maybe that person has hurt you. You know, on Father's Day, it's sad to talk about it, but sometimes some of us are suffering from abuse. Maybe verbal or physical abuse from our fathers. Maybe you've been told in your life that you were not worth anything or you're not very good or you'll never amount to anything or maybe you've had a friend that's just kind of hung you out to dry and walked away, and you've said, you know what, I'm done with that friendship. You know, they've slandered you. They've spread rumors about you. They've spread lies, and you're broken, and you're fragile, and you're hanging on to that unforgiveness. You have to let go. You're bitter, and you're hurt. And then there's some of you sitting out there saying, you know what, I don't have any unforgiveness. I'm okay. But the reality is maybe you're dealing with resentment. Maybe it's resentment that has been built up for the last 5 years. You haven't dealt with it. Maybe you're resentful at your spouse and you never told them. Resentful for your spouse spending too much money or not meeting your emotional needs. Or maybe you're resentful for that guy back in 1984 that never returned that Def Leppard record, you know, that he borrowed. What is it that you're holding on to? What is it that's keeping you all bound up and bitter? God has called us to forgive, and we have to live in freedom. Jesus hits the nail on the head in Matthew when he says this. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. We are called to be loving, forgiving people. We have to be a group of people that forgives unconditionally. How many times? Seven? Seven times seven? No. As long as it takes, you keep forgiving. Maybe you're the one in your life that needs to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you're the one that slandered, or you're the one that hurt somebody. And now that you're thinking about it, you're thinking like, you know what, I need to make some changes, and I need to go back to that person and say that I'm sorry, because in the heat of the moment, I didn't mean what I said. Well, let's go on, verse 4 and 5. And the Lord said, after Jonah yells at him, and the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Jonah doesn't even answer. Listen how Jonah responds. Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there, and he sat under it in the shade till he should see what should become of the city. How many of you have ever had the silent treatment? Anybody? Jonah, do you have any right to be angry? I'm going to wait and see what happens. So God's going to teach Jonah a lesson. Jonah's not answering. Jonah's taken his ball. Jonah's gone home. Let's see what he says. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that there might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. A broom tree, boom, grows up. It's big, big branches. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. Thank you, God, for giving me that. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Second time, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pout. I'm going to see what happens. I made a booth. I'm sitting there in the shade. I'm enjoying it. There's this broom tree branch huge over me. God appoints a worm. It goes, it withers, and the sun beats down on his head, and he grows faint, and he goes, it's better for me just to die. It's better for me just to die. God provides. God knows exactly what it is that Jonah needed. And sometimes God provides a vine. God knows what you need. Sometimes God provides a vine, but sometimes God provides a worm and a scorching east wind. And that's not the God we want to worship, but that's God, because God knows what you need. And those times may be painful, they may be hurtful, they may be hard, they may drive us to our knees, but when we are driven to our knees, our face looks up the only place that it can, and it's to God Himself. And we cry out to God in our need and in our mercy and say, God, we need you. We want to serve the God of the vine. We want God to make us prosperous. The God that blesses us. We want to serve the God that, you know, that writes a check and sends it to us anonymously in the mail. God, provide for me. Make my kids well. Make my kids follow you. Father, don't let me struggle financially. But God is bigger than that. And the fullness of who he is also the God of the worm and the God of that scorching east wind. I pray as we mature as Christ followers that we become people that not only beg for the God of the vine, but we beg for the God to give us the trials to make us stronger. That we would be driven to a better and closer and deeper relationship with the God that loves us so much. God is working in us, and as we studied in James, when we go through the trials, He is creating in us character, He is creating in us patience, endurance, and He's developing us into the people that we need to become. Man, if we are to go into this culture and preach the good news of the gospel, if we are to love the unlovely, if we are to do all those things, man, we have got to get stronger. We can't sit here and worship the God of the vine and say, you know what, God, just bless us. And God, you know, just give them blessings too. We pray for them. He's making us stronger to go out and be a light for Him. He's making us more Christ-like. Do you realize Christ was not weak? You know, we always see the pictures of Jesus sitting there with a lamb and a bunch of little kids sitting all around. You know, and it's like, what? Do you realize He was a carpenter? You ever seen a carpenter's hands? Strong. Don't look at my hand as a carpenter. I kind of cut my finger off a little bit. But Jesus was strong. Jesus had no problem addressing error. That's wrong. You know what? I love you. I'm going to speak loving to you, but that is wrong. We have to be people that are ready to worship God. But God said to Noah, verse 9, Do you do well to be angry for the plant? Are you mad that I took the plant away? Is what he's asking. And here's what Jonah says. Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die three times. You know? Here's the reality of Jonah chapter 4. It all breaks down into this. It's all about Jonah. It's all about his anger. It's about his unforgiveness. It's about his comfort. It's about God taking that vine away. In other words, God, you didn't answer like I wanted you to answer. You saved the Ninevites. I hate that. Then I came over here just seeing if you would change your mind and destroy these evil people because I know they're bad. And, of course, their repentance didn't last long. I think it was the prophet Amos that preaches and then they're destroyed. About 40 years later, they're completely destroyed. So it didn't last. But here's the thing. I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to wait and see if you will destroy these evil people. And then it's like I'm going to sit in the shade, and the shade's gone, and then I'm just want to be, why did you take the shade? It's about me. It's about you didn't answer the way I wanted to answer. It's about my comfort, and it's about what I wanted, not what you wanted. Is life about you? I mean, I want you to think for a minute. Is life about you? Look at your checkbook. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? And then answer that question. Is life about you and your comfort? Is it about your house? Is it about that remote control? Is it about where we eat, what we eat? Go to your Facebook. And look, are you upset because people didn't like your post? They didn't click the heart under your picture? The reality is we are a self-centered culture, and life is about us. You know, Margie sent me to Ingles, and when you go to the grocery store and you get ready to check out, there are magazines and books. There's a magazine called Us. People, how you can do this, how you can do this, and how Elvis is still alive and he's hanging out with Tupac. There's all these things, but it's about us. It's about us. You know, I'm surprised there's not a man. There may be a man's magazine called Me. Is there? I don't know. But Carlton, you would know, right? If it's not a comic book, I can't read it. So anyway, but that's the culture we are. It's about me, 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 me. But here's what God says to Noah and what he says to us in verse 10. He goes, and the Lord said, you know, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? 120,000, we know that there were a couple million in there. The 120,000, they don't know their right hand from their left. Those are little children. You think I should just destroy this city with all these children, with the cattle, with these people? Is that what you want? I think sometimes as a church, Church overall, not as just our church, but the church overall, sometimes I think we want to see that happen. God, we want to see those evil people destroyed. Instead of to come to know the love and the mercy and the grace of a God that loves them so much that even when, you know, because we were there. It's not like we're perfect. I mean, a lot of times we're still there. This is the culture we live in. But I think sometimes we sit back and we think, like Jonah, we think, you know what, I've got it all together and I'm going to wait and see what you do. Instead of preaching to people that need to hear and know the love of God. Jonah, life is not about you. It's not about your anger. It's not about your unforgiveness. This whole thing, this whole story of Jonah is about Nineveh. Nineveh. What is Nineveh? When you walk out the doors of the church, you're stepping into Nineveh. When you step out the doors of your home, you are stepping into Nineveh. When you go to work and you lock eyes with a coworker, or you see somebody else or on the street, you are walking into Nineveh. See, we live in today a world today where marriages are falling apart, where kids don't have fathers, where homeless people don't even have food, people don't have shelter, but yet literally life is about us. So when we step out into this world, into Nineveh, that God loves and wants to see repent, what is your response? People are hurting. People are lost. People don't know the truth. You know how many times people will start a conversation with me and they'll say, well, you know, the Bible says this, and I'm sitting there thinking, the Bible never said that. But they heard someone say that the Bible said that, and so they just kind of repeat what they said. People need to know the truth. Jesus says, the truth will set you free. Don't be so bound up. Don't hold on so tight to the worthless idols and cling to those and forfeit the grace that could be yours. Open your hands. As we go into the world and we reach out to Nineveh, let's don't be like Jonah. Let's be like what Christ called us to be. Let's be a light to this world. Let the light of Christ in us shine on others. Let's pour love into people. And then when we pour love into people, then we can speak truth into people. But don't go around judging and angry at people before you love them. Because let me tell you something. God loves them. Fastest growing church in the world right now is in Iran. Fastest growing evangelical Christian church is in Iran. You know why? Here in America, we don't want to talk about God anymore. You know, it's offensive. Well, yeah, Christ is offensive. He is a stumbling block. But in Iran, where they'll give their very life and the life of their family for saying that they are Christ followers, it means everything and it means the world to them. Yeah, but aren't those the terrorists? Aren't those the... God loves them. And we are called to love them and to preach the gospel. Let's pray. Oh, Father, people are hurting and life is not about us. So, Father, I pray that you would touch us with your Spirit, Father, that you would fill us with your grace and mercy. Father, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to give us power. As Sandra preached last week about fear, Father, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And so, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would make us bold, that we would not be afraid to pray for and with people, that we would not be afraid to go out and reach people and touch people and help people. Father, I thank you for this family as we gather here in this place. And Father, I just pray that, again, your Spirit and your truth would just prevail over our nation, our communities, over our hearts, and that you would be God. Father, forgive us as we look to ourselves and our own desires. And Father, I pray that you would just move in a mighty way. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.